for listening to Cannabis Radio News' exclusive coverage of Vote 2016, The Path to Cannabis Freedom, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody, and we're continuing our marijuana election night preview here on Cannabis Radio. And today we're reaching out to Massachusetts, where Jim Borgasani is with the campaign out there for question four, which would legalize the adult use of marijuana in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Jim, do we have you on the line?
You do. Hi, Russ.
Oh, Jim, thanks for joining us here on and what is short notice. I just reached out today, and you're so kind to join us here for our preview of marijuana election night. We're really excited. And Massachusetts, you've got question four on the ballot. Could you tell our listeners the basics on possession, cultivation, stores, lounges, taxes, any of those details they might like to know?
Yeah, sure. Question four would set up a regulated and taxed commerce system, similar to what's being used in Colorado, Alaska, Oregon, and Washington. It would be a 12% tax on sales at the retail end, which is lower than some of those states. But we set that because we want to undercut the illicit market while making enough in tax revenue to pay for the administration of the program. And we think 12% is a good starting point. It would allow 10 ounces in possession, 1 ounce on your person, and the rest would have to be in your house, locked in a secure place. And we allow home grow, 6 plants per person, 12 plants per household. And we put the home grow in because that's, in Massachusetts, we allow home brew of wine and beer. And we think that's analogous to that allowance. So we think that this is a very sensible, very rational way to end prohibition and yet set up a system that isn't unrestrained legality, but, will stop the terrible injustices that we've seen with prosecuting marijuana cases.
Yeah, I'm really excited about some of the aspects of the Massachusetts question for the 10-ounce possession. I thought was interesting. Many of these states, when they're saying you can home cultivate some cannabis, they'll say you can possess the results of your harvest if you are growing at home, but you can only keep it where you've possessed the harvest. And I always thought, well, that's interesting because you could say you had 200 pounds at home and then say, well, that's the results of my harvest. And they'd have to prove that you weren't a grower. But I always worried that if you weren't a grower, they could bust you for that. This 10 ounce thing sounds like even if you're not growing, you can have 10 ounces. Am I mistaken in that?
No, you're not mistaken. Even if you're not growing, you can have 10 ounces in your house. Again, 1 ounce, out, if you will, in your house, the rest has to be under lock and key. Just for safety reasons. And we modeled that, by the way. We have the medical marijuana system in Massachusetts, which has had a very slow rollout. But that allows up to 10 ounces in possession in the house, too. So we just really took the existing Massachusetts regulation and built it into our initiative.
That works quite well. And the other aspect of Massachusetts question four that I really liked is you would be setting the lowest cannabis taxes in the nation. What was the thought behind that?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, the thought was we wanted to have a tax rate that would generate enough tax revenue to pay for the funding of the administration of the initiative. So in other words, we're setting up a Cannabis Control Commission, which would be the regulatory body to oversee the entire industry. We wanted to make sure that that body would be funded, would have enough tax revenue coming in. But we didn't want to set the tax rate so high that it would encourage the illicit market to keep on functioning. So we really wanted to go at both of those things. And we think that a 12% tax rate will be adequate to do that. We think that we'll collect up by 2020, we think that we'll have about $100 million in tax revenue, which would be more than adequate to fund the administration of the cannabis commerce system. And will also undercut the illicit market because we don't think that illegal growers or illegal sellers will be able to compete with a tax rate that's set at what we think is a smart level.
So when you bring up it being 12%, that's what's in the initiative plus the existing state sales taxes and local taxes?
No, that's included. So let me break down the 12%. We have a 6.25% sales tax in Massachusetts. So any purchase of marijuana would, you know, you have the automatic sales tax, 6.25%. On top of that, we put a 3.75% excise tax, so a special marijuana tax, if you will. And the money from that will go directly to the Cannabis Control Commission in order to fund its operations. And then we have an optional 2% local sales tax. So the locality in which a marijuana establishment is operating can get 2% of the sales tax directly to the community. So, you know, the 2% is optional. So we have a 10% automatic tax. We do think that most localities, you know, will exercise their right to impose their 2% tax. So we think that 12% tax will be the one that's pretty much operational.
Yeah, I like the aspect of trying to make sure we don't incentivize any black market sales through too high a taxation. The flip side of that would be the states out west that have legalized often sell it to voters that are on the fence by saying how much money they'll raise for schools, how much money they'll raise for prevention and so forth. Was there any concern that the tax rate being lower wouldn't generate enough money to be enticing to those types of voters?
No, we don't think so. ArcView Consulting came out with a report that said, again, we're going to have about $100 million in revenue in Massachusetts by the year 2020. Now, on a $33 billion budget, $100 million doesn't sound like a lot. But I'll tell you this. Last month in Massachusetts, the legislature canceled the tax-free weekend. Every year in Massachusetts, they have a tax-free weekend. So you can go out and buy a refrigerator or some furniture or some other large-ticket items, and you can save on the taxes. The legislature canceled that because they didn't want to lose $24 million in taxes. Now, if we can bring in $100 million in new revenue, again, it doesn't sound like much, but when you're talking little cuts here and there, and right now, by the way, we have a budget crisis in Massachusetts. The governor is making cuts of $500,000 here, $1.5 million there. You know, those cuts, when you look at a new revenue stream that maybe could prevent something like that, and some of those cuts, by the way, were cuts for opioid treatment beds, we think that our revenue stream would help prevent cuts like that. And when you look at it, the legislature didn't even want to lose $24 million. And, you know, with a new stream of $100 million minimum, we think that would be something that Massachusetts voters will like. And by the way, as I'm sure you know, it's not just the tax revenue that you're creating. It's the money you're saving from not having to fund police operations or court costs or incarceration costs or prosecution costs. So really, it's a net positive of more than $100 million.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing figures. We're talking with Jim Borgasani from the Regulate Mass Massachusetts campaign. Yes, on question four. You can find him on Twitter at Regulate Mass. What is it, the same for the website, regulatemass.org or com, something like that? Jim? Hello, Jim. Can you hear me? Okay. Looks like we are somehow disconnected. Jim's not here.
Russ, can you still hear me?
Yeah, I hear you just fine, Jim. Just got disconnected there for just a second. I was wondering if you could tell our listeners a little bit about the social use aspects, the public pot lounge possibilities for Massachusetts. I'm sorry, we're having some problems with the connection here somehow. Jim, I don't know how you're not hearing me, but I want to thank you for your time, and we encourage everyone to check out regulatemass.com to learn more about the Regulate Massachusetts, or just Google question four in Massachusetts. You can find out more information that way as well. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will have time for our radical rant, the Treat Alcohol Like Marijuana Act rant. Also, apologies for us dropping off the air there for 10, 15 minutes. The old laptop was choking and puking, and we had to do a reboot. So in the first half of hour two, I'll bring you the behind the headlines and the drug war data mining that we didn't get to in hour one, plus a reread of the news so we have a clean copy. I'm Radical Russ, live in Potland. We'll be right back after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.